Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor, Dustin Daniels.
Did Jesus ever get angry? And if so, how did he cope with his anger? I mean, after all, isn't anger a sin? Well, today we continue our conversation on anger, and we're going to focus in on the two different types of anger. We've got righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Righteous anger meaning, what are the godly reasons for me to get angry? Unrighteous anger are all the other reasons I choose to get angry. Today's lesson comes from two examples of Jesus getting angry in the Gospels. The first example comes from when he heals someone who was crippled, and the other comes from when people turn church into a shopping mall or some type of bingo parlor. This podcast featuring anger is part 2 of 3, and it comes from a teaching series titled The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are inside this habit, this bondage, or addiction to pornography. So in today's podcast, we're going to discuss 3 things. Number 1, the motivation of our anger. Number 2, how anger is produced within us. And number 3, when anger takes place. So let's get started with today's lesson. It's titled, How Did Jesus Deal with Anger? Turn your Bibles to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. So just imagine. Verse 3, Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everybody. And then he turned to his critics and he asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. Verse 5, he looked around at them with anger. This is Jesus. And was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. And then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away, and he met with the supporters of Herod to plot for them to kill Jesus.
So that was like the final straw before they started plotting? I know he had been doing multiple things that they weren't pleased at. Mm-hmm. They thought he was outdoing them. But this was kind of like the final thing before.
I don't know if it was the final. It was one of many. Yeah, because that's in Mark. That's pretty early in Mark. Yeah, Mark 3.
But, I mean, does that really work for Jesus? Claiming that he's working on the Sabbath, you know, all he has to do, you know.
But this,
like they were just going for, you know, trying to find a stretch to accuse Jesus of something, you know.
Right, and that's the whole point, was that.
And it was something to help someone else, you know.
Right, so is this righteous or unrighteous anger that Jesus had?
It's righteous on his end, yeah.
Right. Because think about it. The only time that we see Jesus get upset is obviously unrighteous anger is sins. Jesus didn't do that. It's righteous anger. But we have to understand, this is why Jesus was so mad at the pastors of that day, was because they prevented people coming to him. They were in the way of them getting to know who God was. They said, no, you got to do all of this stuff.
Man-made rules.
Right. All of the traditions. And the man-made traditions were the things that man made up and God had nothing to do with it. That's why he was so mad. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 2.
That's kind of interesting too, because it's like, it's not like he was just going to like Jesus, you know, just to like hear him, you know, preach or something. This is something that could have benefited the man's life, you know, by having a cured hand, you know. And they got mad at him for when they do that, you know.
That's the absurdity of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about we don't know how deformed it was,
But just imagine that. Imagine being there and watching this. And then being so hard-hearted that you're not getting credit, that you're not being acknowledged, that this guy Jesus from Nazareth, right? He didn't go to seminary. Where's his ordination from? Right, you know what I mean? That's what they would ask. Who's this guy? But that's the point. Wait a second. We're the ones that are supposed to be being that. We're the ones that will help you do it, but you have to do it our way. Yeah. And Jesus came and he said, no, man.
Yeah, it's kind of funny just looking at this too. It seems like their source of anger is all four of them at one time. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're hurt because nobody's coming to them, you know. They're fearful of Jesus, you know.
That's a great observation because we're going to get to that in a second, how all of these work together. John 2, verse 13. Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 13. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. So Jesus made a whip from some ropes, and he chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the money, the changers' coins, all over the floor, and he turned over their tables. And then going over to the people who sold the doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures, "Passion for God's house will consume me." So why was Jesus angry?
They were treating that house for their own benefit, not for what it was designed for.
Yeah. The Jews themselves were defiling the temple. They made it in the Fashion Square Mall. Have you been to Fashion Square Mall lately? You know how trashy that place is? I mean, just think about it.
That's trashy.
Metro, which one's that?
That's the Dunlap one, Fashion Square in Scottsdale. That's.
It's still. I'm talking about the people walking around. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, maybe I'm at the wrong fashion.
Pretty nice.
But you guys get the point, right?
I see what you're saying.
No. Yeah. I mean, think about this. When I get angry, I tend to operate out of my anger. Jesus didn't do that here. He saw what was going on, and he decided in verse 15, he made a whip. How long does it take to make a whip?
If you're Jesus, you'd be able to just blink it.
Right?
But he didn't do that.
He did it manual way?
Yeah.
So he did it while everybody watching, so maybe it took time for him to simmer down.
Well, The point is that he didn't react like most of us do.
The flipping the tables.
Right. Is that he consciously, willfully made a whip. Now, this is our Savior. Right? Have you seen the TV shows, right? You see he's not out of control. These examples are not the reason that you and I get angry, though, right? We get angry because we're not getting our way. We get angry because we're not being treated the way that we feel we should be treated. We get angry because we've been humiliated. We've been disrespected. We get angry because our expectations don't work out, right? So you've got righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Righteous anger is this, and you see this it's motivated by a love for God. That's what righteous anger is. Someone else is being afflicted. Someone else is being hurt. Unrighteous anger is, it's motivated by a love of myself. It's about me. Righteous anger is produced by the Holy Spirit. Unrighteous anger is produced by the flesh. Make sense? Righteous anger occurs when God's will is violated. Unrighteous anger is when my will is violated. So what's that mean for us tonight? Sexual sin and anger go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. So when we really think about it, sexual sin in its most basic form is idolatry. It's worship. We have made ourselves our own God. If our sin is pornography, pornography through the world of fantasy, it gives us a venue in which we actually believe that people will and must treat us a certain way. In my fantasy world, nothing ever went wrong. I've got people smiling at me, adoring me, servicing me, and ultimately they're worshiping me. And this is where true addiction and bondage comes from. I actually believe that I deserve to be treated that way. However, when I get caught in my sin or the reality of my sin comes up in my real life, man, that world just comes crashing down around me and I get really angry because the lie of sexual sin or the lie of pornography or the infatuation with a person or a prostitute or a strip club, all that stuff, it's not real.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how angry are you today? How about last week? How about last year? What would your spouse or maybe a close friend say? How would they rate you? When you walk in the door from a long day at work, is your spouse happy you're home? Or do the kids start going into the other rooms? So the big question is, why? Why are we angry? Is it because someone else is being mistreated or violated? Or is it because we're just not getting our way? You know, moving through this process, it can be pretty intense. And we usually think of ourselves in a better light than what we really are, right? We usually think we look better than what we do. But when we see a picture, we're like, oh my gosh, I gotta lose some weight. I need to go start working out, you know, that kind of thing. We also consider ourselves more moral and more godly than we truly are as well. One example of this is our frustration level. It's our anger. When someone bumps into us really hard, how angry are we going to choose to be? Once again, this is a choice. We can either allow our emotions to rule us and consume us, or we can allow the Holy Spirit through discipline, knowledge, and wisdom. The great news in all of this is that once we realize how angry we are, well, then we can choose to repent and we can start over because Jesus Christ is the God of a million do-overs. Something that I touched on yesterday is how to prevent frustration, how to prevent anger from even getting to a boiling point. One way to prevent anger, frustration, is to block the evil of pornography from even entering your life, entering your home. Installing a porn filter on all of your digital devices, man, I tell you, it just drastically helps in this area. And if you don't have a current filtering software system on your phone, your computer, your tablets, let me recommend Covenant Eyes filtering software. I've been using it for years, and let me encourage it. Visit CovenantEyes.com today, and when you do, you can receive a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is put my full name in the promo box with no spaces, and when you sign up, you're also supporting the ministry of Seven Places and this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's a grace group. It's for men and women, and you are invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at @PurityPastor. And if you've got questions, I would love to respond to them. You can visit DustinDanielsRadio.com. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that power is the very name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you. Have a great weekend. And I look forward to our time again on Monday.